From the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
NFL is back. We've had two games. Thursday night action in Philadelphia, Eagles and the Cowboys. And then last night, Chiefs and the Chargers in Sao Paulo. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez live from the City Place Studios here in downtown West Palm Beach. You can listen to us on that brand new ESPN South Florida app. Download the ESPN South Florida app, folks, where you can listen to all of your ESPN 106.3 content. Damian, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mike.
Now, you were doing high school football last night.
That's right.
So I don't think you were able to see the halftime performance. Damien, I have no idea the woman who did the halftime performance in
Brazil. Was there a halftime performance?
She has 10 million followers on Lachanica. Regardless, there was a halftime performance. I was hoping you could shed some light on who the young lady was who did the halftime performance last night. 10 million followers, by the way. And I couldn't pick her out of a crowd.
Oh, Carol G.
Who's that?
She's a Colombian singer.
Okay. Why did I think Lachanica? Isn't that what her handle is? Or
probably. Okay. It's probably her Instagram handle.
Whatever that might mean. But the young lady has 10 million followers, Damien. I couldn't pick.
She's massive.
I couldn't pick her out of a crowd.
Yeah, she's very big.
That means
big.
I'm getting
she's very big.
Probably means I'm getting old, but
well, she's been around.
Has she?
It's just she's a Spanish singer, so she's like known in the Spanish community.
I see.
But she's been
even
around.
Though they speak Portuguese in
right.
Brazil.
Close enough. I mean, Brazil, Colombia, same continent, right?
In the actual game last night, though, it was a quarterback duel. It was a fun quarterback duel. Now Mahomes didn't put up the numbers that Herbert did. But it was a fun game to watch. And I really, it's probably unfair to say this. I think the game was lost when Kansas City, when Butker missed the field goal. Did you see what Rich Eisen said, by the way, on the broadcast? He said, Butker's wide right. And he basically
the
alluded.
Extra point.
And he basically alluded to, you know, he got political. Let's leave it at that. Rich Eisen got political last night on Harrison Butker being wide right.
I see what he did there.
Exactly. But I thought the YouTube broadcast was good enough. People got on Eisen and Kurt Warner. They didn't necessarily like the product, but I thought Rich was great. Outside of the political comment, I thought Rich did a good job. I like Rich calling the games, and I like Kurt Warner too. I like Warner. Warner is one of those guys, Damian, who has a great story, who is bagging groceries and ended up being a Super Bowl champion. So I like the broadcast, but I could go without games on YouTube, I think. I have YouTube TV, just, you know, put it on the network. And I think it would, you know, you're going to get the numbers. It's probably a smashing success. They had a ton of, streamers that streamer speed. They had a ton of guys doing a ton of big YouTube streamers doing watch-alongs with the game.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was different. It was a different watch last night. But I got home at about halftime, Dave, right before halftime when Amarian Hampton did not go out of bounds. Or rather, Hampton went out of bounds, gave Kansas City a chance to get the ball back. Because what happened was the Chargers were driving down the field late in the first half. And instead of Amarian Hampton, the rookie from North Carolina, instead of staying in bounds, letting the clock run, and Harbaugh hitting a timeout right before the field goal with like 3 seconds left, he ran out of bounds with 56 seconds left.
Rookie mistake.
Exactly. So like the Chiefs went from only having probably 15 to 20 seconds for anything to 56 seconds. And listen, we've learned with Patrick Mahomes years ago in the playoffs against the Bills when Leslie Frazier made one of the biggest boneheaded mistakes and played prevent defense with 16 seconds left, and Mahomes threw it to Kelsey and got a field goal. Listen, we know Mahomes can deal with a small amount of time. At 56 seconds, they were able to go down and get a field goal, and it was a 13-6 game at halftime. Now, I mentioned Butker missing the field goal. I thought that was crucial because the Chiefs, they scored again late in that game, and they were down two, and they went for two, and they didn't get it. And it was, 20-18. So I really think that it was a big switch. It was a really big switch. Butker not getting the field goal, and or rather not getting the extra point, and really getting the Chiefs behind the eight ball after that. But we got to give credit to where credit's due. Justin Herbert was unbelievable in the game.
Unreal.
He was unbelievable in the game. I am unfair in the sense of what have you done for me in the playoffs? What have you done in a big spot? And Herbert's never showed up in a big spot. Was this a big spot last night? I'll leave that to the audience. I'll leave that to you, to all the great people listening. But this is week one of a regular season game. I want to see this performance in the playoffs. I want to see this performance when the bigger lights are on. Dude, for what? Four interceptions? I gotta keep myself.
It was four interceptions. Yeah,
dude, for four interceptions
in the playoffs
against the Houston Texans. Can't do that. You can't do that. You can't throw for four picks and lose the game for your team like that. You're not beating anybody when your quarterback throws four interceptions. So I am here to kind of rain on the parade of the Charger party that's going on right now, Damian. And listen, it was a brilliant performance, 318 yards, three touchdowns. He out-dueled Mahomes, which we don't see that often. Usually the Chiefs are able to win this game and win ugly. You know, Patrick's not, but let's put it this way. Patrick's not the one putting up 318 and three touchdowns anymore. It's not how he plays. He threw 258 and a touchdown last night. I thought played great. Had unbelievable plays in the game. Did you see the play he had, Damian, when he was falling over and he pitched it between three defenders?
Yes, it was almost over the line of scrimmage, but he just got it off.
He knew it. That's a Patrick Mahomes play where he knew exactly
He knew exactly where he was.
And that's what makes him great. That's what separates him from other quarterbacks.
Right, the awareness.
I'm sorry. Damian, I'm not writing home about Justin Herbert and fraud Jim Harbaugh in one game.
Mike, I'm going to have to disagree with that. If we look at yesterday's game, Quentin Johnson, 79 yards. Keenan Allen, 68 yards, a touchdown. By the way, Quentin Johnson, two touchdowns. Ladd McConkley, 74 yards. Conklin, 52 yards. Will Disley, 18 yards. The way Herbert was able to spread that ball around with the offensive line that's been revamped and a rookie running back that looked great, I don't know. I think there's something to be said about this Chargers team led by Harbaugh.
We've seen it. We've seen them have the success, though, even with coaches past.
Yeah, but have they been even this set up?
Even with the guy who wore the dunce cap in the corner, Staley.
In the past, has Herbert been this set up?
I tend to think yes. With Eckler and others in the running back room with solid receivers. Dame, I see what you're saying. And I think what you're trying to say is Harbaugh might be the difference maker in the kind
Absolutely.
Of coach that he is. Karma's coming for that guy.
What was the head
Karma's
coach that the Chargers had? Was it Staley? He just loved going for it on fourth down
that's why
when he
I said,
wasn't supposed to.
I called him the guy who wore the dunce cap in the corner during the games because it seemed like he wasn't coaching half the time.
He was terrible. Herbert has it this year is different.
He was terrible. But it was supposed to be my big Dame, it was supposed to be different last year. And you threw for four interceptions in the playoffs, nothing changed. And even before that, even when dunce cap Staley was coaching the team, he had a three-touchdown lead going into halftime against the Silver Fox, Doug Peterson, and the Jags, and you blew that game. He's known to be social media's quarterback for a reason. Let's give him credit. You out-dueled the Chiefs. Doesn't happen much. You don't out-duel Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid much. You did it in Brazil. Fair play to you. But I'm not writing home about the Chargers yet. I'm not. Is it biased maybe for Harbaugh? Maybe. But I tend to think with what that operation and the cheating that happened in Michigan, karma's coming for Harbaugh.
I was going to say, you're waiting for the karma to play its course.
Karma's coming for Harbaugh. That guy's never going to win a big one in this league. He'll never win the big one in this league. Don't you worry about that. And you got a quarterback, Herbert, who's never showed up in a big spot. And spare me with the Sao Paulo being a big spot week one in the NFL season. Let's wait for the playoffs. when he's going against, you know, Joe Burrow, Josh. And I understand he did this against Mahomes, but it's week one. This is week one.
But
if he does, Damien, if he does this a couple of months from now in the playoffs, I'll eat a foot, all right? But right now, I'm not right. No, and if the damn kicker makes the PAT, I still think the Chiefs win this game. That was a big switch. That was a big flip in that game, man. You knew you were going to be behind the eight ball, especially when they went for two and didn't get it right after that Kelce touchdown, man. God, you were playing from behind after that the whole game. It was one of those games where you had to keep scoring. You had to keep getting touchdowns, too. And the Chiefs, and something was up with that defense. I don't know. Like, how the hell was Herbert just able to dice through that deep? Like, Spags and company, damn, it's week one. It's week one. That's why.
In Brazil.
Answering my own question. It's fine if you want to, you know, get behind the Chargers and think that they got something special cooking this year. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm the one with the anti-Harbaugh blinders on. But it's week one, and I'm not going to overreact. And I'm telling you, karma's coming for that guy. Karma's coming. Now, Dame, the two games that we've seen in the NFL season, you've had four quarterbacks obviously play. We've seen Herbert. We've seen Mahomes. We've seen Dak Prescott. We've seen Jalen Hurts. Out of those four quarterbacks and those four performances, Who had the best performance out of the four?
You're not going to like this answer, but how is it not Herbert? How is it not Herbert? Beating the Super Bowl champions the way that they beat him, including seven, he rushed it 7 yards, which is something we don't usually see from Herbert. So if he adds that dynamic to his game, I mean, how is it not Herbert?
Herbert's great. He's a great quarterback. He's a great regular season quarterback. And he probably, to answer my own question, it's probably Herbert. But can I give a close second?
Jalen Hurts.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
His team failed him.
I agree with
his
that.
His team failed him. Miles Sanders not outrunning a linebacker is one of the biggest disgraces I've ever seen in a national football. How aren't you running? You're not outrunning Braun? Are you kidding me? You're not outrunning Zach Braun? Brother, turn the Jets on. Unhitch the way. You want to know what they used to say? I think I've told you. I was a good athlete, not the fastest. When I'd be, you know, when I was playing baseball, my Coach Gomer used to scream, "Riz, unhitch the wagon!" That's what she needed to scream at Miles Sanders, man. Unhitch the wagon, Miles.
You're getting dragged.
Get going. Oh God, I still can't believe he didn't outrun that line, that Braun, and then, I mean, CeeDee Lamb was a disgrace too. And spare me with the numbers. Four drops.
Yeah, that. I mean, he just
four drops.
I feel like CeeDee Lamb did not make the plays when he needed to, but up until the fourth quarter or maybe the second half, right before that big delay, CeeDee Lamb was having a great game. So it's a shame that that's the tail end of the game that he had.
My partner, folks, Russo and Rizzo, Colin Russo. You can listen Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Colin Russo and myself, ESPN 106.3. Colin looked it up. Last 3 years, who leads the league and who leads the NFL in drops
since 2020? CeeeDee Lamb.
Crazy, mate.
But that's also, I feel like he gets so many targets.
No.
So there's something to be said about that.
No excuse.
For CeeDee Lamb, there's no
excuse. You're getting paid astronomical amounts of money. You're getting paid quarterback money. Call for what it is.
Yeah.
Wide receivers are now getting paid quarterback money with $35 million a year. Catch the ball, mate. And spare me with the
third one was a tough catch. He was diving.
No, you got to make
35 a year, mate. Make the catch.
That's first in game.
And Dak put that ball right where it needed to be. That was a beautiful ball. How about the one that smacked him off the helmet? Come on, guys. You got to make those plays.
Or the one across the middle that
smacked him.
Went for like 30 yards.
Smacked him in the helmet.
Well, that one was
almost got picked.
Yep.
It almost got picked. And the one you're talking about was the one before.
Right.
There are so many you can't remember. Dak played a great game. He did. He played a great game. I won't hear otherwise. He did enough to win the game. I think Dak belongs number two on the list, but realistically, it's probably Hurts. And Hurts was brilliant in the way that he was eluding the pass rush. Now, Matt Eberflus took him about two quarters to figure out you got to spy the quarterback. I don't know how that guy got a job, by the way. Matt Eberflus, folks, former Bears head coach who got fired mid-season last year. There was a lot of attention, obviously, with the Bears last year with the young quarterback Caleb Williams. Eberflus, a defensive guy. But there was a lot of non-shadowing the quarter, and Hurts made him pay. You know, Hurts with no
Herbert,
one.
Herbert.
No, Hurts. Hurts made him pay with his legs, rushing and eluding the pocket. And then in the second half, the Cowboys finally slapped on a spy to Hurts. And I thought the Cowboy defense played good enough in the second half. They played good enough to win the game. They were able to get the Eagles off of the field. And the Cowboys scored on like every drive in the first half, too.
They both did.
3 out of 4 for the Eagles, 4 out of 4 for the Cowboys. So, and then the weather delay happened. And I think the weather delay really took the sail out of both of those offenses. And, you know, your boy was on the under. So, you know, thank God for weather delay.
Going into that weather delay, that under was toast.
I was able to hit that under. I had Cowboys 8, and the over-under was 47. I hit both, man. I hit both by the skin of my you-know-what. But
who would have thought?
888-760-3776. This is Saturday Tailgate. Once again, 888-760-3776. That number to call in if you want to chime in. We're reacting to the two games that happened in the National Football League. Chargers winning 27-21 last night in Sao Paulo. And the Cowboys losing to the Eagles. Eagles defeating the Cowboys in Philadelphia 24-20. We got a big slate of college football, and I won't listen to the, it's a down week. No, it's not. I got a lot of games for you guys to go through. I got a couple of matchups that I want to focus on here coming up next. I personally do not think it's a down week in college football. I think there are about 4 to 5 games where you should have your eyes on today. And usually when people say it's a down week like this, Damian, upsets start to happen. So we'll go through that a little later on in the show. But 888-760-3776 if you want to chime in on what happened in the NFL. We ranked the quarterback play that happened over the last 2 days. I guess we consensusly agreed. Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, and probably Mahomes last, as crazy as that sounds. Now, statistically, Prescott probably belongs in the cellar throwing for 188 yards. But the
it's
reason
the eye test.
It is. And Prescott would have had the best win, in my opinion, if his team didn't fail him. And I truly do think
without a doubt.
His team did fail him. And if you want to argue that, like I said, 888-760-3776. But I really do think that CeeDee and Miles Sanders and whatever everything that was around Dak completely failed him in that game. That's why I have him too. Because that win would have on the road. It would have been on the road in Philadelphia right after they hung a banner. It would have been very, very impressive. But you got to give credit to Hurts. You got to give credit to Mahomes. And I really do think that you saw 4 great quarterbacks in action over the last 2 days. I refuse to write home about the Chargers, so I do. They got to win something. And, Damien, this goes back. The Charger Maloik in the postseason goes back to Philip Rivers, man. You know, they won 15 games 1 year and got bounced. First round they had the bye, and then they got bounced in their first game at home by Brady and the Patriots. Like, they've just been known for not being able to win the big one. And it's kind of where I'm at still with the Chargers. I am, especially with that with that Harbaugh, especially I think with the lack of momentum that's coming Harbaugh's way with him cheating. We'll have to wait and see what
are they one of the last teams you would like to see win a Super Bowl just because of Harbaugh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jim Harbaugh might be one of my most hated I don't know. I might actually hate the guy, Damian, but I'll say it because if I saw him in person, I wouldn't want him to punch me in the face. I sports hate Jim Harbaugh, but yeah, probably. I'm trying to think like who else I sports hate. Like I sports hate the Steelers. I sports hate the Ravens.
That's the rivalry though.
Like the Ravens, I actually do hate the Ravens because, you know, that's my team that moved. But yeah, I probably would say Harbaugh's up there, mate. He really is. He really is.
I mean, it's understandable from an Ohio State fan.
But J.J. McCarthy's up there too. just because of the cheating Ponzi, like all those kids that played for Michigan those 2 years that were cheating. It was it's a bad look, you know. It's a bad look. So enough Buckeyes though. 888-760-3776. That's the number. When we come back, folks, I'll tell you about my good friends at Hard Rock Bet. We'll go through all of the big games on the college side. Like I said, there are big games, there are big matchups, and I'll tell you exactly who. Coming up next, Saturday Tailgate, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. This is ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
888-760-3776, that number to call on into the show if you want to get in on the conversation. We talked about the two NFL games that have happened already, the Eagles and the Cowboys, Chargers and the Chiefs. Chargers beating the Chiefs 27-21, Eagles beating the Cowboys 24-20. Talked about the quarterbacks. We ranked the quarterback play, Herbert, Mahomes, Prescott, Hurts, 888-760-3776. If you want to touch on all of the action, or rather, if you want to talk about all the action that happened in the NFL over the last 2 days. Now, we're going to get into college in a second. I got to get you those big fixtures. Football, man. Got to get you those big matchups that are coming up in college football today that I will be locked in on. But, Damian, before we do that, we got some news.
That's right.
Out of the NFL with a certain team that I root for.
Big news out of Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns and their second-round pick, Quinshon Judkins, reached agreement today on a four-year deal, $11.4 million. That now means all 2025 draft picks have signed their deals for the Cleveland Browns.
Now, and I think he was one of the last rookies, in the NFL to sign. I don't know if he's going to play week one.
It's rumored that there is a suspension still looming. Nothing is confirmed. But as we know, as of right now, he has signed his rookie deal.
I would assume he's not going to play week one. Obviously, folks, those of you familiar with what happened with Judkins, there was a case where he got charged with domestic violence, but it basically got thrown out in the court of law. The judge and folks, forgive me, I'm totally not like law guy, judge guy. The case got thrown out. There wasn't enough evidence.
Charges dropped.
Yeah, charges got dropped. Case got thrown out. And to Damian's point, there might be some kind of suspension from the NFL after they're done with their investigation. But the young man did sign his contract. Obviously, he was a huge part of the Buckeyes winning a national championship last year throughout their playoff run and had 3 touchdowns in the national championship game. Let's get into a little college football today, Dane, because all I've been hearing is, oh, it's a down week. There are good games. It's never the case. It's never the case. You got Illinois and Duke. How can't you be sold on Luke Altmyer versus Duke on the road? Darian Mensah, by the way, the quarterback for Duke, had a great week one last week, 389 yards and 3 touchdowns.
They hung 45.
Illinois is a top 11 team, damn near top 10. If they are legit, the reason you're watching this game today is because you're going to find out if Brett Bielema and the Illini are legit today. They're favored by 2.5 points on the road. I mentioned Duke's got a good quarterback, good offense. The same can be said about Illinois. Massive game for Illinois, one of the top-ranked teams in the Big Ten. I think that's a must-watch game coming up at 12 p.m. So keep an eye on Illinois and Duke coming up at 12. I actually want to see Florida State hang 50 on East Texas A&M. Am I a psycho for that? I want to see Florida State carry that same momentum that they had against Alabama, against a team I got to go to my good friends at Hard Rock Bet because I can't find the line. I mean, I'm assuming it's north of 40.
I was going to say that's got to be 40.
It's got to be north of 40. But Florida State, East Texas A&M, I want to see Florida State. I want to see that offense hum, and I want to see them really carry that momentum.
Can't find the line either.
That's what I mean. I think they're either adjusting it or trying to fix it. But, yeah, I'm assuming that's anywhere north of 40.
44 and a half.
Yes. There we go. See? I'm on to something. Iowa and Iowa State. It's Battle of the Iowas. This is one of the bigger rivalries in the Midwest. Obviously, when you think of Midwestern rivalries, you think of Michigan and Ohio State. But, I mean, Iowa and Iowa State, always a massive one. This one is in Iowa State. During Russo and Rizzo, Cowan liked Iowa. We took Iowa in the three. They were getting 3.5. But I lean Iowa State here, Dame. I think Matt Campbell is a great coach. I think Matt Campbell, if a big job opened up like tomorrow, Dame, I think a lot of people would interview Iowa State's Matt Campbell. I do. He's really turned that program into something. Becht, their quarterback, has been classed the first two games.
That's a playmaker.
I'm known as Big Ten Mike, you know, naturally, and in my friend group and in my inner circles. As Big Ten Mike, I can't stand Iowa. Iowa's one of those Big Ten teams that I just can't stand.
Are they like the Steelers?
No, they're not. I just hate the way they play. Well, they have the Steelers colors. Maybe you're onto something there.
But I feel like they both have a boring kind of...
Bias aside, during bowl season, when they face like an SEC opponent, they never win those games. They've been to the Big Ten Championship numerous times over the last decade when it was East and West in the Big Ten. They were never able to win a big game in the Big Ten Championship. They're just phonies. They play a weak schedule. They beat up on the bottom half of the Big Ten. And they just don't... Listen, if you win the game, you win the game. I'm not necessarily a guy who's hung up on style of play, but that team puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
They're a lullaby. Iowa is a lullaby to watch. I lean Iowa State and Matt Campbell in that game. It's still... Every rivalry game is fun, but I think you're going to see Iowa State win that game pretty convincingly today.
3.5 favorites.
Because I don't think that Iowa has the defense that they've had in years past, and they certainly can't. They can't do anything offensively. They never can. All right, next game, Baylor and SMU. Baylor, folks, is coming off of the loss to Auburn at home. Auburn and Jackson Arnold. By the way, Jackson Arnold, the transfer quarterback from Oklahoma. I know it's hard to keep up with some of these guys. But Jackson Arnold, Damian, former five-star recruit. I was on him during the recruiting trail. I was a big fan of him when he went to Oklahoma. He transfers to Auburn, has an amazing week one with Hugh Freeze on the road, and they're able to beat a pretty good Baylor team. Now, Baylor on the road against SMU this week. SMU, if we remember, went to the ACC championship last year. They lost to Clemson. Ended up making the college football playoff. God knows why. That was a mistake, by the way. Oh, my God. What a waste of time. But SMU and Baylor, I think that's a big game. It's a big game for SMU because they haven't won a big game probably since the 80s. I don't think Baylor could be one of those teams that you could write home about. But if you're SMU, you want to beat Baylor before you get to that ACC schedule where Damian... Florida State looks like they're legit this year. Miami, in my opinion, is a top three team in the country right now. I mean, Miami looked unbelievable against a stout Notre Dame defense. And I think the story of that Miami team quickly, their defense looked better than their offense. And defense was the problem for Mario last year. So
non-existent last year.
If you're SMU, you wanna get you wanna get as many wins as possible before you play Miami later on in the year. So they play Miami and Clemson. I think Clemson are phonies. Don't even get me started there. But they do play the likes of Miami and Clemson. And I think Clemson is a team who probably has enough firepower to beat SMU. Neither here nor there, though. SMU and Baylor, I think, is a pretty massive game. Did you see the squabble that's going on with Coach Gundy at Oklahoma State and Coach Dan Lanning at Oregon? So the squabble that's going on, Dame, Coach Gundy basically called out Oregon and all the scholarships they have and how much money they spent on the roster, and Dan Lanning fired back.
Wow.
So I'm intrigued by that 3:30 matchup. It's in Oregon. I expect Oregon and quarterback Dante Moore to, Dame, my boys and I have a saying, put up a tent and put on a clinic. I think they're going to win this game. I mean, Oregon is favored by 28 and a half. I damn near might take Oregon in this game later on with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Honest to God.
Is Oklahoma State another one of those teams where they kind of like, they're a bit phony in a sense?
Yeah, they are. They don't win anything. They don't win anything. They had a couple of years. God, who is it?
They were ranked last year, right?
But I'm going to go as far back as, is it, I almost said Charlie Blackman. He's a baseball player name. They had a receiver called Blackman, and they had a really good year. I thought maybe that year that they could, Justin Blackman, that's it, Justin Blackman. Believe it or not, Collins Jacksonville Jaguars drafted him, one of the bigger busts on the wide receiver side. But they've had good teams. They've had talent there, but to your credit, they've never been able to win the big one. And Dame, not even that, they haven't even been able to win the Big 12 big one. Like, the Big 12 for years was ran by Texas and Mack Brown. You could even argue Coach Stoops and Oklahoma. Honest to God, Dame, if I could rephrase that, it was ran by Mack Brown in the early 2000s. And then I would say from like 05 on, post Vince Young, it was Oklahoma. It was Oklahoma and all those quarterbacks that they had. A la Jason, you know, Jason White back in 04. And then obviously Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, later on Jalen Hurts. But God, I could even go as far back as 04, even before Texas won the national championship in 05. Jason White, Dame, played one of the greatest teams of all time, that 04 USC team with Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Dwayne Jarrett, and Lendell White. All this college football talk, folks, has me hungry. The annual Boca Raton Bowl ABC Supply Company Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase heats up this coming Wednesday, September 10th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Once again, the annual Boca Raton Bowl ABC Supply Company Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase heats up this Wednesday, September 10th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join ESPN 106.3's Theo Dorsey at Boca Raton Innovation Campus in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now, includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. That's spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. I will be on site. I will be doing Russo and Rizzo on site. And I will also be eating until I can't eat anymore. Damien, that is one of those events where, as I say, I put up a tent and I put on a clinic. I put on a clinic.
You're going for that MVP, Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, I put on a clinic at Great Chef's Tailgate, and I am certainly looking forward to getting things started with the annual Boca Raton Bowl ABC Supply Company Great Chef Tailgate Showcase coming up this Wednesday, September 10th, from 6 to 8:30. But yeah, all that college football talk, Dame, really got me hungry and really. In the business of bowl season, Mike, and eating, and I am starving, you could tell.
I got a matchup for you that I find very interesting today. USF versus the Gators. Now, the Gators are favored 18 and a half, but USF coming off a win against a ranked opponent in Boise State, I think that game, two teams that have elevated a lot since last year, especially UF. That game in the rivalry of Florida, I'm very interested in.
I am too. And Florida's one of those teams who I feel like got left out of the Florida party last week, Dame. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
I mean,
not much talked about. I mean, they didn't really play the best opponent. They won 55-0, I believe it was.
But like with the big wins with Florida State and the big win with Miami, I really do think that Florida was one of those teams that certainly
showed the progress.
Correct. But like at the same time, I still think they could be the best team in Florida. They just got to prove it on the field. And all the Florida teams play each other. That's a great part of it.
Yeah, and there was a lot of hype leading into the season. So for them to answer that hype the way they did is promising.
And folks, listen, the 2025 Florida football ticket packages are on sale. The 2025 Florida ticket packages are on sale now. Don't miss any of the home games coming up this season in the Swamp. Obviously, you had the game against Long Island already. There are still 5 home games in the Swamp coming up. The SEC home opener against Texas is October 4th, and Senior Day is coming up November 29th against Florida State. How about that? Senior Night, November 29th, coming up later on in the season against Florida State. Visit FloridaGators.com to secure your seat today. That is FloridaGators.com to secure your seat today. FloridaGators.com. Let's take a timeout. When we return, we'll make our parlay of the weekend with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. We'll continue to break down what I think are the big matches coming up in college football this weekend. Damien alluded to the one that I'm going to be most locked into coming up at 4 o'clock with South Florida and the Gators. But we'll also make that parlay of the weekend with Hard Rock Bet. This is Saturday Tailgate. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, live at the City Place Studios in the Anajar and Levine Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on ESPN 106.3.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. Here's Mike Rizzo.
What a great time it is to download that Hard Rock Bet app. NFL is finally back. NFL is back, and it is the perfect time to download the Hard Rock Bet app with our good friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Right now, folks, the party is just getting started, and you're on the list. Place your first $5 bet on Hard Rock Bet, and if it wins, you get 150 in bonus bets. That's extra firepower to kick off the NFL season. Don't just watch the action from the sideline. Get in on the game day and the game day party over at Hard Rock Bet. We're going to be making our parlay of the weekend coming up in just a second. I went 4 out of 5, Dame, last week with college games. 4 out of 5. The only game I missed was that Alabama game and Florida State game. But we'll get into that in a second. The wait is over, though, as I alluded to. Pro football is back, and Hard Rock Bet puts the entire season in the palm of your hand. From touchdowns and spreads to all the biggest games, in just a few taps, you can place any bet before kickoff on Sunday, and you'll win a $20 bonus bet if a team scores a touchdown. Let me say that again. Place any bet before kickoff on Sunday, and you'll win a $20 bonus bet if a team scores a touchdown. You think there are going to be any touchdowns on Sunday, Damian? Absolutely. So if you bet on a game, you're going to get $20 in bonus bets. That's any cash bet, by the way. And all you need is one touchdown on Sunday. It's the hardest bet to lose. This is available to both new and returning players on Hard Rock Bet. So download the app today. That is our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. All right, let's get into this parlay of the weekend. Damian, I mentioned, so what I do with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, I do a parlay and I take these games on the side. Now, Damian, I bet pizza money, which is like 10 bucks. You know what I mean? 10, 20 bucks.
That's why you got a parlay.
Exactly. Exactly. So like these, I'm taking Illinois in 2.5 today. I'm taking Illinois and the 2.5 today. I want to quickly get this out of the way. There could be bias here. I covered Illinois football and basketball for 3 years in Peoria, Illinois, my former stop before I came here. I was in Peoria, Illinois, covering everything Bears, everything Illini. I've watched this team come a long way. I watched this team win 5 games the first year I was there. I saw them go to a bowl game. And then this past season, you know, playing against South Carolina and beating South Carolina in a bowl game last year. I think Brett Bielema has done a great job with the program. I think Luke Altmaier, the quarterback, I think he's going to have a big day today. Give me Illinois and that 2.5. And I think they show the world today that they are they're the 11th ranked team in the country, by the way. I think Illinois shows the world today that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten. and within college football. Give me Illinois at that 2.5. Damien, I mentioned that I like Iowa State, and I am going to take that 3.5. Iowa State is at home. I don't like Iowa. I don't like their offense. I don't think Iowa's defense is as good as it's been in years past. Give me Matt Campbell and the Cyclones at home. I love the 3.5. I think Iowa State at least wins by a touchdown.
Gotta love a home dog.
We are on the Cyclones, who are favored by 3.5 at home. But give me the Cyclones today. Now, I think the next couple of bets are going to be interesting, because, Dame, we could go one of many ways. We could buy into the teams that lost last week that they're going to bounce back. Like, we could buy into the Alabama, who's probably favored by God only knows how much. We could buy into Texas, who's going to be favored by probably 38 points.
37.5.
Against San Jose State. Do you want? Is there a giant? I'm never good at these giant spreads, Dame. So I'll try to leave that to you. Is there a giant spread that you want to take today? Because I think I could hit the close games, and I think we are going to be winners in those Illinois and Iowa State games. Is there any other big? Is there a giant spread game that you want to take before I go on to the next couple of picks here?
Now, I don't love the giant spreads, but if I were to take one of the two, either Texas or Bama, I'm going to go with Texas, because ultimately Texas played hard in that game. What we saw from Bama against FSU was absolutely pathetic. I mean, guys were jogging out there. So if I were to pick one of the two, again, I don't really like those large spreads. I kind of tend to lean towards the underdogs in those cases. But if I were to take one or the other, it'd be Texas.
We'll take Texas. And with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, they are favored by 36.5. 36.5 for Texas. So that'll be our giant spread of the day. And then I want to go look and see what the Gators are laying against USF. God, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Jeez, that's a lot.
I would go USF in that spot, to be honest. I still think the Gators win, but USF can cover 18.5.
Dame, we're in the business of making money, and I tend to agree with you. Give me USF and Johnny Mondo, my good friend and co-worker here at ESPN West Palm. I'm so sorry, partner. But give me South Florida in that plus 18.5.
Well, we still think the Gators will win. That's just a large line.
Yeah. Mondo told me that the Gators were mortal lock this weekend, and I'm fading them. South Florida plus 18.5, Texas minus 36.5, Iowa State minus 3.5, Illinois minus 2.5. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, we got to take the Michigan game. We got to take the Cheaters.
Question is, are you fading them?
Oklahoma's favored by 5.5. Yeah. I'm probably taking Michigan. I'm taking Michigan.
Wow.
I'm taking Michigan will win. They'll win. By the way, they're not cheaters anymore, but Sharon Moore is still a cheater. Neither here. Deleted 52 text messages. Neither here nor there. I like Underwood. I got to admit.
He looked good, huh?
I like Underwood. I think he'll be good for the rivalry. I think it's a good new chapter in the Michigan book where they can move on from the cheating allegations. Not allegations. They did, but it's okay. I'm over it. I'm not over it. But Bryce Underwood, I think, is good for the rivalry. I think he's good for college football. I think it's great whenever a true freshman like that has success. Are you fine with taking Michigan?
Yeah, I'm fine there. I like that 5. I think that's a coverable line for a team in Michigan.
They win.
They got that reputation.
Explain to me how they lose. Like, if Michigan loses that game, like, what is change? Like, the argument I made to Colin yesterday during Russo and Rizzo, if Michigan loses that game, what has changed? Like, the one thing I want to get on Michigan fan about, have they beaten our ass 4 years in a row? Fine, sure. Ohio State's been the most consistent team in college football for the last 25 years. We rarely lose more than 2 games in a season. Michigan lost 5 games last year, and they want to act like they're a major program. Give them credit. They won a championship in 23. Fine, all right? But there's a whole lot of nothing before that and a whole lot of losing. It's time for Michigan to consistently be a top team in the country year in and year out. And this is coming from Big Ten Mike. We need more teams in the Big Ten that don't lose games like this. Oklahoma stinks. They stink. That Venables is going to be fired by year's end. That guy's a coordinator, not a head coach. If Michigan can't win this game, shame on them, man. Honest to God. If they can't beat Oklahoma with John Mateer, shame on you. Okay? And don't give me, oh, it's hard to go on the road. Stop it. If you're a top-tier Big Ten program, you win this game on the road. Let's stop with the excuses for Michigan. Enough. They lost 5 games last year, coming off a title. Did they lose a lot? Fine. But they lost 5 games. Where's the standard? Where's the standard? When's the last time Alabama lost 5 games? Could be this year. When's the last time Georgia lost 5 games? When's the last time Ohio State lost 5 games? I'll take it a step further. When's the last time Oregon lost 5 games? Even the teams under Mario wouldn't lose 5 games. If you're a top-tier program, you win this game. You win this game. I think there's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on both teams. Venables, in my opinion, is a dead man walking. Sharon Moore needs a big game. And this is his alma mater, by the way, Sharon Moore. He's an Oklahoma man. It would probably be our last bet, by the way. That's our parlay of the weekend.
To sign it off, to steal and deliver it.
Illinois, 2.5. Iowa State, 3.5. Texas, 36.5. Florida getting 18.5. Michigan getting 4.5. That is $20. $20 to win $543.
Ooh.
I will be taking these games on the side as well.
Double up.
Hard Rock Bet, folks, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888. Admit it. Folks, you hear that music? That means it's time for me to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. For Damian Perez, I'm Mike Rizzo. This has been Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. We'll catch up with you next Saturday. I'll catch up with you on Monday. Sunday huddle coming up tomorrow. Brian Rowitz and Kate Chumsland.